The Journey of My Heart, Passages from the Diary of a Pilgrim to Sri Ramanashramam, 11th of January, 1983. In my room this afternoon, Ramaswamy once again spoke of the greatness of self-inquiry. There, you have so many activities, meaning me as an individual. That is why you do not rigorously practice self-inquiry. But once your activities are less, the method will come to you very naturally. At that time, you will be surprised at how natural and effective it is, and you will regret that you didn't take to it earlier. These words were unsettling to me. How can I most effectively practice Sri Bhagavan's teaching? I asked myself again and again. During meditation, his name quelled my thoughts and I felt at peace. 16th of January, 1983. This morning, the temple drummers awoke me at 4 a.m. And when I realized that the images of Sri Arunachaleswara and his concert were coming around the hill, I quickly jumped into slacks and shawl and ran up to the road. The images wended their way through pitch blackness, illumined only by bright torches and accompanied by horn and drums. At the ashram, offerings were made, and during the aarti, before the ashram gate, I took a photo. This caught the eye of a man nearer to the offering plate than I. He motioned for the priest to come to me. He gave me the vibhuti, which I received with reverence. I remembered how Bhagavan, on such an occasion, remarked, "The son is beholden to the father," and I felt that somehow Sri Arunachaleswara, the father, knowing my extreme need of his grace, singled me out among the 100 or so people at the roadside to receive the sacred ash. Paul and I recorded the Vedic recitations of Kittu and Apichi in Muruganar's, Paul's room. After the taping was finished, we presented them with letters of appreciation and gifts. We read out our letters to them, which described the inspiration we gain by listening to the recitation of the Vedas and the Sri Chakra Puja year after year, and how we derive from them the inspiration to carry on our lives in Sri Bhagavan's name. Kittu spoke with such humility and sincerity. "Here, we are very gratified and happy that you listen to and appreciate the Vedic recitations. There are so many here, so many sit quietly, yet we find no one who does the practice as all of you from Arunachala Ashrama do." Kittu described how he and Apichi were boys in the first Veda Patasala founded by Major Chadwick. They would recite before Bhagavan in the old hall in the mornings at 5 a.m. and again in the afternoon. During the day, Bhagavan would walk out toward the Goshala and the Veda Patasala and inquire after the welfare. Thus, they received his grace in a personal way. When Kittu saw we had presented him with a dhoti, he reminisced how each year Major Chadwick would present all the boys in the school with fresh clothes. Apichi wished to hear us recite a few names of Sri Lalita Sahasranama. Paul and I happily obliged. Kittu and Apichi took our leave. As they slowly walked side by side across the yard in front of the old hall, I followed their path intently with my eyes and wished to always remember the image of these two humble, lifelong servants of Bhagavan. Around 6 p.m., Kunjiswami and Natesan came to Muruganar's room to recite Sri Arunachala Acharaman Malai. Kunjiswami then spoke movingly of Bhagavan and his relation with Sri Arunachala. "Arunachala, Arunachala," repeated with Bhagavan's mind from his youth. He wrote, "From the age of innocence, it had shone within my mind that Arunachala was something of surpassing grandeur. Sri Bhagavan's Arunachala Purana was the cause of his semi-absent-mindedness at school. Sri Arunachala within was pulling his mind to the center. People say that Bhagavan had no teacher, but he himself has written, "Making me free from faults and endowing me with virtues, accept me as thy devotee, O Arunachala, that shinest as the Guru." Normally, when a person receives a pencil or pen, he will first write his own name. Bhagavan, however, would always write Arunachala. Arunachala was his name. Arunachala is none other than the Supreme Self. This he proclaims in Navamani Malai and again in Sri Arunachala Pancharatna. Verse 1. Although Shiva is motionless, he dances before the mother, Shakti, who stands still in the court of Chidambaram. But know that that Shakti is withdrawn into his unmoving self, and he stands in his grandeur as the towering Arunachala. And in stanza 2, when one inquires into the meaning of Arunachala, which is lustrous like red gold and bestows liberation, one finds that the word Aruna means Sat, Chit and Ananda, existence, consciousness and bliss. By Evelyn Casello, Sapphire. To be continued.